Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
Did you participate in Squat Fest? I mean, you could tell me, Tosh, like, I don't even know
what... Vince, what do you think? You think I'm sitting there putting 415 on my back and with a bulky left knee that I'm having a hard time playing pickleball with, but I'm going to go in and squat with Hunter Waller and all the boys that are 18 to 22? Does that sound like a good idea? I'd be living with you at Orthopedic Associates if I did that. That's what would be happening.
My knee's so jagged up right now, I can't even squat with no weight. I'm right there with you, my friend.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's your host, Vince Vetrano.
It's 7:12 on the Monday morning. Expect to learn more from Greendale Police about a melee that appears to have shut down an outdoor carnival at Southridge Mall.
Well, pretty much everywhere in the mall. There's just kids running and screaming. I'm doing my best to make sure no fights are breaking out or anything.
And that posted by TMJ4 News of the Moment Saturday night video showed Greendale, Greenfield, Hales Corners police all responding to the mall. There were people everywhere. 76th and Edgerton to the north, 76th and Grange on the south end of the Southridge property, across from the property as well.
When I got in my car and was driving home, there was just teenagers walking in the streets.
And that person talking with TMJ4 News said to be inside the mall when a huge fight of some kind broke out. Video from TMJ4 appeared to show at least one person being arrested. Channel 12 reporting this morning that it's 10 people who were arrested. It looked like a huge crowd. And Greendale police have not posted any sort of update on their social media as of this morning. So we can't confirm any details other than what we saw in the video. But anything that happened in the mall proper or in that immediate parking lot, that would be Greendale. And then so you go north of Edgerton, now you're into Greenfield. Regardless, whatever went down, a lot of people were frightened.
Bunch of kids cause a mass panic, cause people to run for their lives in abject terror. So many people that day experience a genuine fear for their lives. I was one of them. Like, I was so, so scared.
This is only your south side too, Michelle. I mean, this is only about a mile and a half from my house there in Greendale.
Yeah.
No idea.
And we drive past this carnival all the time, and the kids are like, hey, we should go there. And
not liking those prospects?
Not maybe early in the day. What time did this happen?
They said 7:30 in that area. You know, Southridge is another one of those mall properties that is trying to reinvent itself. Greendale actually took possession of the old Boston store property. They have plans to turn that into some sort of residential aspect. And I've just looked at some of the online conversations that have come from this, and a lot of folks saying, like, this is what happens if you have stasis, if you're not growing, if you're not changing that, then you just have this place that becomes, you know, not what you want it to be. And so if you could add that residential component, that might change the face of Southridge and its future. I suppose a good example would be what's happened on the North Shore with the old, what do they call it, Bayshore. Adding that residential component puts people there all the time. They're now invested in their own neighborhood. But right now, that's not a good look for Southridge. 7:15 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Sports sponsored by Holiday Automotive at Highway 23 in Fond du Lac. Holiday Automotive, it's worth the trip.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Brewers head west once again. We got the Rockies and Dodgers in a 7-game road trip that begins tonight. What an offensive tear the Brewers are on right now.
1-0 pitch. Fly ball to deep right. Are you kidding me? Another grand slam! 7-1 Brewers on the fifth grand slam in the last 8 days. You can't make it up.
I always like to hear another before grand slam. WTMJ's Jeff Levering on the call right there. Bryce Turang with that Grand Slam Sunday. The Brewers routed the last place Chicago Cubs. That gets a boat horn. 7-1 is the final. Indeed, all of the runs coming in that explosive fourth inning. Brewers fans have been frustrated at times this season. How often have we seen it? Runners in scoring position, you can't get them across. Or even bases loaded, and then the Brewers come up empty. Manager Pat Murphy asked, what's up of late?
Younger a team that wasn't very effective with bases loaded up until about a week and a half ago. Now pitchers can't keep the ball in the park against you guys in the bases loaded. Just what's the
We made a huge adjustment with the bases loaded. That's a secret plan. How to hit homers with the bases loaded. It's been working. We bought it. It was a recipe online, and we got it.
I love it. Whatever it is, we like it. Brewers go 5-1 on the homestand. We won our eighth straight home series, and we take a 50-34 record into July. Brewers and Rockies from Coors Field in Denver tonight, 7:40, first pitch. Best way to describe this next story, kind of like a Ryder Cup-style team match for junior golfers. Wisconsin this week playing host to the U.S. National Junior Team. That is six boys, six girls. They range in age from 15 to 17. They've got a match against Australia, who fields a similar team. 2 days of team competition, Tuesday and Wednesday. Open for great weather for them up at Century World in Stevens Point. On this Monday morning, Michelle Richards in for Eric today. I'm going to squeeze in this update here on this Monday morning. Rosita Sims finally back in court. And if the name is unfamiliar, the story should not be. You know the story if you listen to the show. Quote, I got three go-tos, a gun, a knife, or mace. Remember it now? That is from the criminal complaint against Ms. Sims, accused of shooting up a car while driving on the freeway while her baby was in the car with her. This is hardly the only one of these types of cases, these freeway shootings. But I fixated on this one and promised to use it as a case study to demonstrate just how unseriously we take what I think should be a very serious offense. Anybody willing to pull out a gun and fire on cars while going 60, 70 miles an hour on the freeway, not someone you want still behind the wheel or walking around out there. But Ms. Sims, accused of multiple felonies for the incident on I-94, headed eastbound the week of Thanksgiving last year. That was the one where, again, familiar scene. It was happening when we were on the air here. Freeway shut down. We see deputies arm to arm walking across the freeway. And Eric and I looked at each other like, this is a freeway shooting. Right, somebody fired a gun and they're looking for shell casings, and this happens more often than it should. So back to Ms. Sims. She has delayed. She's stalled. Here it is, summer already. She's still out on $3,000 bond. She had yet another court appearance this month, or just last, ended, what was it, Thursday, I think, of last week. Still has not had even a full preliminary hearing. So we're a long way from this ever even going to trial for a crime allegedly committed 7 months ago. The latest, she has now been deemed unfit to stand trial. There was a court-ordered evaluation of Ms. Sims, a competency exam, as they call it in legal circles, found that she is not competent to stand trial. The prosecution did not object to the report, so that's that for now. I'll read to you from the court record that was posted. The court finds the defendant is not competent to proceed at this time, but is likely to become competent with appropriate treatment within the statutory time frame. Court will order the proceedings suspended. Court will also make a referral to outpatient competency restoration program. Let me break that down for you. What that means is she needs some mental health treatment. She could ultimately be well enough to stand trial, and therefore the court orders that treatment. Another hearing scheduled for 3 months from now. So by the time we see Rosita Sims, again, accused of shooting up a car on the freeway, again, it'll be nearly October for an incident that occurred in November of 23. I did contact Waukesha County District Attorney Sue Opper's office to inquire as to whether she remains free on this low bail that she was assigned, $3,000. DA Opper did get back to me and confirmed Ms. Sims was ordered by the court to participate in outpatient treatment program to restore her mental competency. This means so long as she remains compliant with the program, and I will point out, Sims has been showing up for all her court appearances. So this is not a situation where she posted the low bail and hasn't been showing up. She is not confined in any manner. If she would become non-compliant, the court could consider ordering inpatient treatment in a confined setting. So that's where the case stands now. But to put this in perspective, also in Waukesha County, remember the story from last week? You've got the guy, the epileptic, who, according to a criminal complaint last week, had a seizure behind the wheel. He crashed his car in that construction zone on Highway 164 in Capitol. He killed two people. He had surrendered his license last year, had no valid driver's license because of his propensity for seizures. He knew how dangerous that was, but according to authorities, got behind the wheel anyway. Here's the prosecutor in that case arguing for, which the judge agreed, $1 million bail.
I understand that asking for $1 million cash bail for someone who is 49 years old with no prior record is a higher ask, but the unbelievable danger that he poses to every single person in this community is quite frankly terrifying.
I've got no problem with it. And if the allegations are proven true, this is a guy who did kill two people and put another in the hospital. So not the same thing as Rosita Sims. There were no injuries in that case. But her bail was set at $3,000 and this guy $1 million.
And I would argue that what she's accused of doing is also, frankly, quite terrifying.
Don't you think? And here's the other thing. I mean, the guy with the seizures, he shouldn't have been behind the wheel, apparently did know better. Again, if this all plays out as is alleged in the criminal complaint. So I don't really have a problem with that court ruling, but isn't Rosita Sims at least as dangerous? Like, no one is arguing that this guy meant to hurt anyone or kill anyone. This is a woman who, according to authorities, pulled out a gun and started shooting at cars on the freeway. She shot up a car. His bail, $1 million. Hers, $997,000 short of that. We don't take this stuff seriously enough. And both of these cases are out of Waukesha County. So at least as far as the court system is concerned, it's apples to apples. You can't say, well, those Milwaukee County judges, they're not tough enough on crime. Both these cases are in Waukesha County. So we will continue to track the story of Rosita Sims as we continue this case study. Nothing in terms of reckless driving, nothing in terms of gun violence is going to change until we change our rules of accountability for those who commit these crimes. Brewers Extra Inning host Dom Catronio is our guest on Brewers 360, coming your way at 7:45.
Vince, there are a lot of things that can make a town famous, right? You could have maybe some natural beauty, you know, like Michigan, perhaps.
You could have an attraction, world's largest ball of twine or what have you.
Or you could have a jar of pickles.
I don't get this.
So this is the story of a small town in Missouri, a suburb. It's called Depere, and a woman one day was driving, and she noticed something kind of strange on one of the freeway exits. It was a jar full of pickles, seemingly just abandoned there on the median.
Have you seen a picture of this jar? Are we talking like a big old jar? Is just like something you pull off the grocery store shelf?
Yes, something you'd find in the grocery store. This one looks to be about half empty. Maybe it's got, you know, three or four pickles left in it. Like somebody started eating the pickles and just left them there. I don't know. But as any person would do in such a situation, she created a fan page on Facebook.
Brilliant.
So somehow this thing exploded. This was in 2012, by the way. So this has been going on for a while. And anytime somebody takes the jar of pickles, somebody else mysteriously replaces it. It's never the same type of pickle, apparently. And they even dress it up for holidays, like maybe as a leprechaun for St. Patrick's Day, or they put a mask on it for COVID or whatever they were doing. But this thing is just out of control. And people, I don't know. This is what you come to Depere, Missouri to go see.
I mean, everybody, like you say, you got to be known for something, I suppose. what was the thing we were talking about in Chicago? Greg Hill produces the program.
Talking about the rat hole?
The rat hole. That was it.
Of course.
Yeah. Where there was an imprint of a rat that was left, or they weren't even sure it was a rat. A lot of folks thought it was a squirrel. Either way, like under some new concrete, and there was this imprint, and like people came and paid homage to it. People got married there.
Oh, geez.
It just takes some quirky thing to blow up on social, and next thing you know, you have a tourist attraction. News is sponsored by Annex Wealth Management's Money Talk. That's heard Saturdays at 10 right here on WTMJ. Brewers 360 is coming your way next. Just want to set something up that we're going to get into just after 8 o'clock here. Starting to hear some, it's crazy, Michelle. Michelle Richards in for Eric today. Eric's up north, I think. I think he was in Minocqua or something like that. Coming back today. Be on the air tomorrow. I was just looking at Eric earlier this week, and I'm like, I'm feeling this. I have no one who's told me this, but I'm feeling this sort of vibe of maybe we're going to start to hear from some business owners who are saying, like, well, the RNC doesn't look real good for us right now. And like on cue, starting to see the TV stations, Journal Sentinel's gotten into it. We got into it here as well. A few of these business owners, mostly restaurants, saying like, we got nothing booked here. 2 weeks out and we got nothing booked. And we're starting to freak out. Not only are we going to maybe not do as well as we thought, but we might actually do worse.
Is this due to location?
I think what's happening is, you know, unless you're booked for an event that week, they're starting to wonder, like, are we going to get any sort of trickle effect? Are people just around going to come and visit our restaurants? And they're freaked out that if we don't have things booked, what's that walk-in traffic going to be like? So I have some thoughts on that, having covered major events, covered two Super Bowls, three Final Fours, some of these big events that take places where when you are the host city, you're like, oh, this is going to be great for everyone. I have some thoughts on why it may be good and why it might not be good for some businesses. We'll do that just after 8 o'clock this morning. Dom Catronio next on Brewers 360.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Brewers send the Chicago Cubs packing in grand fashion.
1-0 pitch. Fly ball to deep right. Are you kidding me? Another grand slam! 7-1 Brewers on the fifth grand slam in the last 8 days. You can't make it up.
A grand slam, part of a 7-run fourth inning. 7-1 Brewers over Cubs, the final. The Brewers now head west for a 7-game road trip. Brewers 360 is sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. And online with us this morning, host of Brewers Extra Innings, Dom Catronio. So, Dom, you want to say baseball is baseball. There are ups, there are downs, freaky things happen, but five grand salamis in 8 games is an abnormality.
Oh, my God. That's more than an entire season.
Right?
I had this note ready for the guys on Bally, and it was read. So, this is the 56th. Season of Brewers / Pilots baseball. They have had more home runs, or I should say grand slams, in the last 8 days than they had in 34 of those 56 seasons. It's pretty wild when you think about it that way.
So Brewers manager Pat Murphy joked with the guys after the game. They're like, hey, what's with this? Oh, a secret recipe. We ordered it online. Yeah, we're doing something really different. Different approach with bases loaded. But something's different.
Well, it's funny because, look, the first 74 plate appearances, they had one grand slam. But not only that, they were not really good. They were the worst team in baseball at just flat-out hitting with the bases loaded. They had like a 120 batting average, had no other extra base hits. Now, they still have no other extra base hits. It's the irony of all this. They have the most grand slams in baseball, but they don't have, like, a bases-loaded double. They don't have, like, a triple down the line. They haven't hit well with the bases loaded. Then all of a sudden, in these last 8 days, they're like, oh, well, you know what? Let's just hit the ball over the fence and make it work that way. So you're right. It's an abnormality, but I'm not going to complain about it. That's for sure.
No complaints. Complaint department is closed. Dom, I was listening to you yesterday afternoon following the game on Brewers Extra Innings, and your praise for Willie Peralta was totally on point.
Freddy.
How good was Willie on Sunday? Freddie. I'm getting my Peraltas mixed up.
Exactly. Yeah, I know. Well, look, there's been a few
sorry,
games.
Sorry, fastball Freddie,
like,
as he were.
Yeah, there were a few games he looked like Willie Peralta, let's be honest. But,
don't want that.
The thing with Freddie is he finally – I know we all say fastball Freddy and like everything plays off the fastball. I'm one of those people that disagrees. And I actually talked to Freddy about this earlier this week in the clubhouse. And if you want to get really deep in the weeds, I could talk about his pitch selection against righties, given the Cubs lineup is so heavy right-handed. And, you know, right on right, that tends to be what you want as a pitcher. But, you know, sometimes teams have learned to lay off his slider, especially a team like the Cubs, because that's what they did in their first two starts against him, where they just said, you know what, we'll force you to beat us with your fastball and with your changeup. And he didn't really throw a changeup the last time he saw him. Yesterday, he threw a lot more changeups. And the way I could tell that he was really on and the way that his stuff was all working, one way we track a pitcher's success is swings and misses and how many just simply times you made the batter swing and miss. He had 18 of them yesterday, 6 for each. His fastball, his slider, and his changeup. Everything was working yesterday.
Last thing for you is the Brewers head out west. So Brewers, by my count, are 22 wins better than the Colorado Rockies right now. That said, as we've talked about time and time again, there is precedent for the Brewers laying an egg against terrible teams. So you can't let your guard down here.
Well, not only that, you're going to the altitude. The game just is played different in Colorado. You're a mile high. The ball doesn't spin as well when you're on the pitching mound. The ball flies forever when you're at the plate. It's not so much the home runs at Coors Field. It's the doubles, because the gaps are so gigantic there at Coors Field. So it's going to be a little funky. I hate that it's a four-game series. I wish it was three and get out of there. But then you really can't let your guard down, because I know the Dodgers are battered and bruised, but you got the Dodgers right after them. So this is a really, really difficult road trip ahead.
Don, thanks so much. I'll leave you with this note. Just got it in on the WTMJ talk and text line. Don's been killing it on extra innings lately. Such a great asset to the WTMJ team.
Well, that's very, very, very kind of them. That's been so much fun and easy team to talk about, obviously.
All love for you on this Monday, Don.
Thank you, guys.
Take care. Mark Tauscher next.
Idea Man.
You've said that you're not a double glove guy, and you know there's been some discrepancy whether or not that's the case.
Innovator.
Good friend and teammate Greg Magic sends me a picture of you double gloving playing pickleball.
And Packers Hall of Famer.
So you're telling me you did not play one point of pickleball double gloving?
I did not. Not two gloves, not
all
one.
All right. Well, that helps me restore my faith in the pickleball community a little bit, because I was convinced, you know, that you're out there rocking because your hands are so delicate that you needed to glove up playing pickleball.
It's time for Tausch on Wisconsin's Morning News, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and Kohler Services.
Mark Tauscher on Wisconsin's Morning News is sponsored by Kohler Services. Tausch, can I ask your advice as we proceed with the program on this Monday morning?
Yeah, there's actually nothing I enjoy more
than
giving out free advice.
Okay, well, and, you know, being a broadcaster yourself, you and Wildy figure out what you're going to talk about on your show, and it has to be some combination of that which you believe folks listening will be interested in, but also that which you are passionate about, right? So you try to balance that.
Yes, and I think one of the things that's always tricky, and you do 3 or 4 hours, I don't even know how many hours a day you're doing this now, and one of the things is I know that people come to listen to us to talk about the Green Bay Packers, and on a much lesser extent, the Brewers and the Bucks, because obviously I played and Jason did this. But the interesting part is people will say they don't want us to get into daily life stuff and all the, but that's always what draws and gets the best reaction. So what's nice about now in today's era with Twitter and Facebook and talk and text lines, you know when something's good, you know when people are interested, and balancing that out is always something that Jason and I try to figure out.
Okay, so I would like to, because it is a passion of mine, and I feel like Pancake, who produces the program, and Michelle's in for Eric today, are maybe like holding back from telling me not to do this, but I would like to read the Declaration of Independence today. I'm out the rest of the week. We have Independence Day coming up. It is my favorite of the founding documents, and I feel like people don't spend enough time investing in what that day, that moment is about, and I would like to read the Declaration today. What do you think?
I think it's, listen, the one thing I've always learned, when it's someone's show, you let them do what they want to do, and then you can push back and say, you can read this, and then when we're done, Michelle and I can sit there and say, well, Vinny, that stunk.
Boy, but
that's
bad.
The beautiful part about it. I don't think anybody is going to say reading the Declaration of it, like learning about that is always a good thing. So, yeah, go ahead. Shoot away.
All right. There you go. What do you think, Michelle?
Cliff's Notes, maybe?
All right, maybe just an abridged version?
Yeah, maybe summarize it in a fun and relevant and, you know, using some slang like the kids use today. Maybe throw a sleigh in there.
Sure. All right, we could update it, Tausch.
I actually think you should mix and match what Michelle is saying, and then also go back to yesteryear and use like the when the person walks through the town square, what is that guy called?
Where you're ringing the bell?
There you go. So mix and match a little bit of both. You use the current slang with some of the old folklore, and that could be something.
Okay, we're doing this. It's going to come up in the 8 o'clock hour. Got to ask you about the thing at UW over the weekend. Greg, do you have a cut from that?
Come on!
What are we listening to here?
Come on!
I think this is Squat Fest, but with all the festivals and parades and things that go on down by the Capitol, I'm not sure. I believe that Squat Fest, we did our show live from there. And it's an intense deal. People's faces are painted up and sweat and blood and people come out. It was kind of the end of their first part of their workouts before they get a little break. And then, you know, football season's coming, people. I don't know if everybody's fired up as fired up as I am about it, but it's coming. There's only 10 Sundays left before there's football.
Oh.
10.
That's phenomenal.
How good is that?
Did you participate in Squat Fest? I mean, you could tell us, I don't even know
Vince, what do you think? You think I'm sitting there putting 415 on my back and with a bulky left knee that I'm having a hard time playing pickleball with, but I'm going to go in and squat with Hunter Waller and all the boys that are 18 to 22? Does that sound like a good idea? I'd be living with you at Orthopedic Associates if I did that. That's what would be happening.
My knee's so jagged up right now, I can't even squat with no weight. I'm right there with you, my friend. And I don't even have an NFL career to hang my hat on. Thanks, dude. I'll talk to you soon.
See ya. You bet.